Greetings to the congregation. I also welcome our new friends and believers to come and worship us as well. And we also welcome those who are worshiping online. May God bless us so that we can hear the word of God, the voice of God teaching us. The title of our message is Participate in His Attributes. What does that mean? When we become, put our faith in the Lord, God allows us to have the attributes of God in our life. And the key verse in Peter, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So each life must experience the attributes of the Lord, the attributes of God in our life. There's a mom cooking in the kitchen, and he has two sons, one 4 and 2. And as somebody cried, and she came into the voice saying, "What happened?" And the older brother say, "Oh, he pulled my hair." And so, do not get angry with your younger brother. And then afterwards, she came in the kitchen cook, and 2 minutes later, another cry. She came saying, "What happened now?" The younger brother is crying, and the mother said, "What happened? You told me that do not be angry because he didn't know what he was doing. Now he can experience because now I pulled his hair." So our life has some experience. Participate in the attributes of our God is one of the things Scripture taught us. God gave us the promise, precious, so that we can escape the evil desire of this world, so that we can participate in the divine nature. Paul has received this experience. He has already participated in the divine nature of God. And so he wrote this epistle to share the word of God through his experience. All the epistle from Paul is all his experience. Like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all these epistles of Paul, we see that Paul shared his experience. And here, through this experience, he reminded us, as a prisoner of the Lord, then he recognized that he's a prisoner of the Lord. That is a special situation of Paul in his mission, because he's fled to many places outside. He saw what is a prisoner, his experience as a prisoner, and he was proud that as a prisoner of the Lord. And with that, a prisoner, he urged to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Let's examine that we have been participating in divine nature, how important that is. Paul has experienced this. So live a worthy of the calling that we have received. Let's pray for guidance before we share the message. Dear our Heavenly Father, this time we love to hear that the Holy Spirit in our to explain the word of God so that we can understand the mystery in the word. But may you open our heart and mind so that we can, what the word and what the action and the plan that you have in our lives, Lord. We're thankful. We lift this time up into your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, Paul has given us 5 divine natures of God that he has experienced, that we must become the children of God. The first attribute is that humility. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Our Jesus, when he came into the world, he expressed humility. He's God, but he lowered himself to become a creation. Born in a manger. Anybody born in a manger? Well, at least there is a bed to put a baby on. But the Son of God has chosen a manger to come into this world. And that was Christ's humility. When we were born, we hope that we were born in a rich family, any kind of position, society. Jesus, the Son of God, he came into the world. He chose a poor family of Joseph and Mary to become the son of this poor family. How could express the glory of God? But the Son of God expressed the glory of God by humility, is born in a poor family. You and I hope that when we grow up in this situation, that we can be recognized by others. So when we have resume to ask for a job to introduce about us, when Jesus came, he grew up in a city called Nazareth. That a city that is the worst city of the Israel nation. When he called Nathaniel, he was introduced by Philip, and this is, I saw the Lord. He came from Nazareth, and Nathaniel said, is anything good come out of Nazareth? So when we talk about Nazareth, we know that it's a very bad place, but the Son of God grew up in that city, Jesus of Nazareth. We see that because of that humility, that Lord God has lifted him up, gave him name above all names, so that the name of Jesus Nazareth can cast out demons. That name can heal the sick. The name of Jesus Nazareth to change the life of some suffering life to become a happy life, a joyful life. Our God, our Jesus has that humility. God also has this divine nature in us, humility. You and I may have the humbleness, but our humbleness is very nothing compared to the humility God wants us to have. But the humility of Jesus came from I'm lower so that the Lord is lifted up. That's what John Baptist said. But when we are humble ourselves so that God will be glorified. When we have the humility for what? So that our God will be praised. And humility is a battle that we are facing to fight on our own. On our own is why? Because in our there is arrogance in us. Because of the arrogance in us, the Lord could not be praised. So we need the humility so that God can be lifted up. Arrogance is something the Lord hates. Satan originally is an angel of glory before God. He's the bright star. And because of that arrogance to become like God, and then God has cast Satan out of heaven to become now the enemy. So Satan is an enemy of God after that. In the scripture, so many examples of arrogance in the Bible. Moses got called and chosen, but Miriam, the sister of Moses, so Miriam has a thought that Moses is not the only God being used by God. Miriam said, I can be used too. And because of that, she got leprosy. And because of that arrogance, glory has been swallowed by the earth in the Old Testament. And in scripture, we see that Nebuchadnezzar has established Babylon Empire, was very arrogant. And so because of that, what he has. So God has made him to lose his mind. And then he cast out, eat grass like an animal, like a wild animal. From a emperor, now become like a dog in the prairie eating grass. And in that, Nebuchadnezzar recognized the Lord. So that God restored him. And he restored back as a emperor of Babylon. God hate the orange, but bless the humble. So to have humility, because God praises the Lord when we have God's humility. And another example is Herod Agrippa, grandson of Herod. He was arrogant because everybody think that he's a God, and because of arrogance, and God gave him a sickness to be eaten by the worms. God do not has cannot stand arrogance. And Paul has learned about this humility on the way to Damascus. Before he was arrogant. He was rich. He has a position. He's a Pharisee. He's a young with very strength to persecute the early Christians. But on the way to Damascus, he has been changed into someone with humility because the light of the Lord. He was blind by that event for 3 days. He couldn't see anything. He could not eat. He must let him into a city that he doesn't know yet. Jesus came, said, Paul, when he was called Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you that I persecute you? I am Jesus that you are persecuting. I didn't persecute you, Jesus, because you persecute my brothers. It's the same as you persecuted me. So God made that arrogance in Paul to disappear. And from there, the humility entered into his heart so that Jesus can use the Paul, and his name is changed to Paul, to participate many books that he wrote in the scripture, become a missionary, famous, to call many souls, build many churches in Israel as well as the of all the Gentile country. And this person is an instrument of God because of the humility of Paul. And so the first thing for us to equip us with humility like Jesus, a person to give glory to God by to nail ourselves into the cross. And Paul had experienced, I have been nailed to the cross with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Before, he's a student of Gamaliel, a Pharisee. He kept all the laws. He's proud because he's better than anyone else. Now, he died with Christ on the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. May this humility be drilled in the heart of each of the believer. The second part is gentleness. Humility is humble. Gentleness is the way to treat others. When Jesus was very gentle, Isaiah talked about the mission of Christ. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers in silence. So he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. When Isaiah was prophesied, he would proclaim, O Jerusalem, Your king will come to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. This is Zechariah. When a victory of a king must be on a royal horse, not a donkey, but our Jesus has ridden on a donkey into Jerusalem because he is humble and gentle. Gentle is a battle to fight with other people around us. And the gentleness is a battle to treat others. And Paul, the one who has this gentleness, when first he served the Lord, and Paul has been called to Philippi in the East Asia to serve the Lord there as a missionary, and he was imprisoned there. He has a Roman citizenship, and he was beaten there. But Paul did not. I am in Rome, but Paul did not use his right as a citizen to question those who beat him in prison. Paul has the right as a citizen, but he did not use that right of a Roman citizen to defend himself there. And his friend Silas, one day they did. In the middle of night, they sing hymns. And because of that sing, God has caused the prison to be shaken and broken all the gates. And the prisoners, head of prisoner, tried to commit himself. No, Paul said, don't worry, we are still here. And so everybody in the prison was still there, even though all the shackles have been broken, all the gates are open. But none of the prisoners escaped because God used this event to make the gentleness has equipped Paul so that his family, the head of the prison, to become a Christian. The gentleness that you have is to treat others so that others can recognize Christ in us. The humility, we do not defend ourselves, but God will defend us. Peter has said, they have heard their insult at him. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Peter chapter 1 verse 2:23. We express our gentleness when we have this divine nature in us. We learn about gentleness of Jesus so that we can be soft to others, to be soft with others and ready to be defended by the Lord. When Jesus they want to make Jesus to become king after the feeding of the 5,000. Someone has supplied the food like Jesus. They want to make him king. But Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Others want to make Jesus to become, but the gentleness of Jesus would not allow that to happen. He withdrew to a mountain by himself, thinking, if he does not express gentleness and humble himself, it will destroy the plan of salvation. And so the gentleness is the ability to accept under the supervision of the Lord because of the goodness of others. Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourself. That's what Paul said in Philippians. Gentleness will bring the goodness of others, like Jesus said to us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. That's the result. You will find rest for your soul. To carry the gentleness nature in our heart, our soul will find rest in Jesus. So it is of our goodness and goodness of others when we have gentleness in our heart to bring goodness to others. And so Paul has written, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And because we see that the day of the Lord is near, the more we have to express our gentleness to be evident to all. And gentleness will bring not only our goodness, but also goodness to others. And that we must be equipped with this gentleness. May the Lord equip us with this gentleness, with humility. The third attribute, patience, or long suffering. Now patience must be equipped to Jesus is patient because he always waits on the will of God. He does not use his own ability to resolve issues. When he was tempted, turn this rock into bread for you. Did Jesus do it? No. Jesus did not listen to Satan. He knew that he was hungry, that he can turn the rock into bread. He did not do it. He's waiting on the Father. The Father will give angels to bless him with new strength instead of listening to Satan. Beginning of his ministry, he came into the wedding ceremony in Canaan, and they ran out of wine. They ran out. The Mary said, oh, they ran out of wine. Can you do something about this so that you could supply the wine for the wedding ceremony? And this is something a shame for that family who ran out of wine. So they will remain in the family to many days. So run out of wine is something of a shame to the family. But Jesus was saying something when Mary asked him to, oh woman, why did you involve me? Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. Though he was born under Mary and Joseph to become a human under the supervision of him. But he came because the will of God, he surrendered to the will of God. That's his prime priority. So Jesus would not let any other pressure to push him, even though it's coming from Mary, to do something that not allowed by the Father yet. When Jesus wanted to go to celebrate in Jerusalem, a festival, and the brothers urged him because the family was in Nazareth in the north, and the brothers said to Jesus, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciple there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Come there to show to your apostles. The brothers urged him on, but Jesus said, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will be. And in that festival, Jesus expresses himself, reveal only work according to the will of the Father, because he has the patience of the Lord. And because of that, he does not want to show himself his capability, his authority, his position, if that does not come from the Father. And so, patience is a battle before a difficult situation that we are facing. We require
patience
and humility so that we can face with ourselves. Gentleness is an attribute to face other people, and patience is an attribute equipped to face difficult situations. Paul, some has learned this from the Lord. Every one of us, if we have sick, we want to get over it quickly. We always ask for prayer to heal. In the life of Paul, he has something that continues to vex him. It is something that can cause him feel uncomfortable, but it causes physical pain to Paul. And Paul wanted, I want that problem of him physically to be lifted. He prayed 3 times to the Lord, but God did not answer him. No, he wished that physical problem can be lifted so he can better serve the Lord. But Paul did not hear from the Lord because God said, my grace is sufficient for you. When you feel weak, and that's when you're strong. When you feel that you have trouble, that's the grace I have for you. So learn the patience from Jesus that Paul has become a successful missionary. The patient nature that God wants to equip is to learn a patient. We need time. It cannot be learned in a few days. There is a member of the governing board say, oh, now I have become more patient. I have learned a lesson. So very good. So he slapped his face and then he was angry. This morning, I told you I have been changed. I must learn. Why did you hit me? And the pastor said, I want to test you to see how patient you are. Cut your congregation. Patience is something that doesn't happen after a long instance. It takes time. Patience means we depend on the plan of God in our life, not to depend on our own ability. There's a friend, 8 years old, one day he was promised, if you're a good boy, I'll take you to fishing this Saturday. And he was so happy about that. And he only waited for the Saturday to go fishing with his father. Every sunny day, but that Saturday it rained. Oh, he was so sad. He complained and he walked back and forth. He looked at, why is it raining so long? And it was raining almost all the day. The father said, God knows that this rain is good so that the fruit can grow. The farmers need rain. We also need rains to have water. And so the father explained it to him. No, Frank said, but today, why today? Right? Because it's a day of fishing with you. And the father said, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the rain stopped, and the sun come out. Now, let's go fishing now. And he was just waiting for that train set. So he went with the father. And so after the rain, he can come. So many fish was caught, and very big ones too. So take home for the mother to cook that night. So Frank that night has to turn to say grace. Oh dear God, please forgive me. Today I was complaining so much because I could not see the future. Because I could not see what is happening in the future. God equipped our life for you and me. The patient, the team said, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And now we can be a complete person with perseverance. There must be time to learn about patience. And God will use difficult situation to test us and train us in patience. The fourth point that God wants to equip us is that love. To have love is to stand with each other. Long suffering. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. So when he gave the son, that is the greatest gift. Anything else is given, but even the only son. But God loved the world so that he gave his only begotten. So that means Jesus is the most precious possession of the Lord, that he gave Jesus to us. And why did God give his only son? Because our sin. God loved us, expressed that while we were yet sinners, he came into the world to be sacrificed on the cross so that you and I can be saved. For we are not a good, and then Jesus will come. No, Jesus, while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So during the time that Jesus on this earth, until he nailed on the cross, Jesus prayed, "Dear Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do." He asked the Father to forgive those who nailed Jesus on the cross. He asked those there to mock Jesus, to despise him, does not have faith. That's the love of God. That's something we could not have. We have love, but our love is love someone who loves us. Hate someone who hates us. But the kind of love that God equipped us to have is, I tell you, love the enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. And he wants to equip us to have so that we can serve each other and the Lord. And so equipped to love is a battle to face the enemy. Why do we need to be equipped love to battle with others, so that we can have long suffering with each other? And between some believers, but everything is different with different people. Here, we could not stand someone here, even those are believers. We could not be of one mind with some others. We are very different, but God gave us love in our heart so that we can love those who is not worthy of our love. And that's the kind of love that we equipped with. But the kind of love that we have naturally, people out there have that kind of love also. That love of God is to accept unworthy people in our life, so that we can accept each other the way they are. Paul had experienced this kind of love. And during the last few years, he knew Onesimus. He's a slave. He stole money from his master and ran away. And during an iteration, and he saw Paul, this slave encounter, he became a Christian, loved the Lord. When Onesimus, this slave, was released from prison, he wrote to his master, "Now you are a believer. You cannot run away from your master, even though that's in the past. You have to come back and ask for forgiveness of your master." Paul wrote that letter. What did Paul say? "Philemon, please accept this slave, not just a slave anymore. Now accept him as someone who has the mercy from the Master. But in the love of Christ, Philemon accepts this slave to come back in as a brother in Christ, not as a slave as before. And Paul said, if you only sin has all, then make that all. And when I see you, I will repay that debt from Onesimus. Love. Love can cover ourselves with that kind of love. In Baltimore, they organized a celebration of 80 years to a teacher in Baltimore. And before, that school has many bad students. They were very undisciplined. They were also criminals. But when that teacher showed up, that school has changed drastically. Many students under his leadership to become doctors, engineers, lawyers, and even pastors and missionaries to maybe a very special skill. So to show up the thankfulness to lead them, they organized a celebration of 80 year old birthday for this teacher. And during this time, he said, there's an interviewer from the press say and asked this teacher, why were you successful to chase these criminals, these bad ones, now become very many successful person? The teacher answered, when I came and when I looked at others, I saw the other young teacher were very good. They were trained very well, and I wasn't the one being trained like them. I don't know how to teach. I wasn't equipped. What I have, nothing, only the love I have for these students. Love is the greatest gift. And faith is the greatest faith. That love is greatest to give others. Without love, the life of believer in concept is only like a gong, like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It could not do anything. Love is the heart of the Christian, and God gave his love to us in our heart. Peter is very good, a follower of Christ, and at the end, when Christ would capture, he denied love, not only once, he denied Christ three times, and he cursed the one accused him of denying Christ. When Jesus asked Paul, Peter, when after resurrection, do you love me? Why did Jesus ask Peter that question? Do you love me, Peter? Because God wants to give Peter the responsibility to establish the church on earth. Without love, he could not carry out this mission. Peter can become a successful fisherman without love, but Peter could not do anything for Christ without the love of Christ in his heart. So Peter must determine with himself, my love is not this kind of love between brother and brother, but God said to give you, you must be receiving the love that I give. And Peter has become a shepherd, successful one, to raise the church. This is something God has equipped. I gave you the new command that you love each other. Not the same love that you have before, but love one another as I have loved you. That is the kind of love God wants us to have in our hearts. And all those will be a fruitful as human before. The last one, the divine nature is unity. The unity of the Holy Spirit. God gave the church a unity, very wonderful, more than any kind of unity in this world. Jesus has a unity with the Father, and that unity must become the unity of the church. When Jesus came into the world, the Father and I are one, Jesus said. But there is no difference. There is no between Jesus and the Lord. Jesus is the image of God. That we could not see God. We see Jesus, then we see God. And Jesus said, Father and I are one. And when Jesus prepared to get Gethsemane to fight in his prayer, what did Jesus pray? He prayed for the unity of the church. And all of chapter 7 of John, Jesus prayed a lot about the unity of the church. And he prayed, oh Father, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. The unity of Jesus, that the Son is in the Father is in the Son. There is no separation, but Jesus won the unity in the church, just like the Father and the Son. There is no difference. There is no separation. We do not want, God does not want us to separate from Him. And so Jesus does not want a separation. Paul has experienced this unity when he first served the Lord. There is a young person named Mark, nephew of Barnabas. And Barnabas had been called to preach the gospel, and he have his nephew Mark. And when Mark get some to trouble, he left the mission. And so Barnabas want to bring Mark and Paul. Do not bring him. That person, when in difficult situation, Mark is disappointed and left the mission. And so Barnabas and Paul separated their ways in terms of preaching the gospel. But when they old, he wrote to Timothy, and Paul said, bring Mark to me, because I needed him. When first began to read Mark, Paul did not recognize the usefulness. But when Mark became a worthy servant who Peter knew like a son, grow in spirit, and those the one who wrote the gospel of Mark, he was useful for the Lord. And Paul has forgotten about the past part, but now he can be used by the Lord. When that person has been changed, and Paul saw this person in him, in the beginning, Mark was not willing to serve, but now he has been changed by the Lord to become a servant. God can do that in any of us. So there is no separation between Paul and Mark. Bring Mark to me, because he needs to be by my side. And so God will give us unity in each one of us. Satan, the enemy, will always do this unity. But God, Jesus prayed in, so in John chapter 17:11, Jesus prayed for the name of the Father. And that is the name of the Lord. All the organization on this earth, they have certain standards to make and organize like a club or some kind of organization. If there is no common interest with the, and all the organization, and that is the standard of the human, with some kind of a struggle or a bad situation, the club can disintegrate the organization. But the unity of God is different. That unity could not be destroyed. because God's unity is in the church. You have to keep this unity, because we could not destroy the unity of the church. So the church has so many, after 7,000 years, this is unbelievable organization with different kinds of members in the survey, different positions, different understanding, every kind of, but always it's a church of unity in Vietnam, even in America, all the church in Africa, in China, or anywhere, there are many different doctrines, but there is only one church, because it's been established on the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse, I will establish my church on this rock, on the foundation of Christ, in Matthew chapter 16, 18. And Jesus says, the gates of hell will not overcome it. And even though the church, many been persecuted, many hated the church, and many in this world tried to destroy the church of God. The Romans tried to destroy the church. The Germans tried to destroy the church. The church continued to exist. The Muslims want to destroy the Christian. The church continued to stand, because Jesus has built his church on the foundation. That is the Christ. And that Jesus has not changed, never changed. And so the Lord will continue to sustain his church. Have a story to end. In the night, there are six persons. They try to find something to warm themselves in a cold night. There are six persons in a group, and each find a piece of log. They sit together. Nobody wants to use their own piece of log. They're in a lonely woman. I do not want to put, I hate the black people here because I don't want to use my own. And also a prostitute. I do not want to use my own wife, because there's a rich person. Why don't that rich person supply the love for everyone? So she does not want to use his own love. The rich person said, I do not want my own love, because I don't want to help the prostitute. And so he kept his own love. Another person, I do not want to use my love, because you don't have the same faith as me. If you have the same faith, I will use the love. That black person, I do not want, I will be discriminated against. I don't want to use my own love. Each person has a reason to say that I do not want to use my own love for some reason or another. And then they die. Oh. Because not of the cold, but because of the empathy. That the situation difficult can come at any moment. But maybe the situation could not destroy, the gates of hell could not destroy the church. Satan could not. Persecution cannot destroy the church, but even the empathy of our heart. We have to be united in Christ. So the 5 points that Paul experienced, he wants also to share, to equip, to humility, gentleness, patience, love, long-suffering, and unity of the church. Dear congregation, this the divine nature that God wants each of us to have. May God bless, so that we participate in the divine nature of the Lord. Let's all stand. We will read together the key verse. This is the promise that God has done, is doing, and will do to this church. He gave us a precious a promise to equip us with the divine nature. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desire. We grew up in sin. We're born in sin. So each of us has the evil desire that King Peter said. You are caused by the desire of inside to tempt you and cause us to sin. But praise be to God. God gave us participate in the divine nature so we can escape our evil desire. This morning, we will have communion and knowing. And every first Sunday, because last week we were having a very long program, so we reserve the communion on this Sunday, and this is representing the blood and body of Christ. When you receive this, do this and preach the gospel until the day of the Lord. This is a commandment. We have the goodness when we receive it in the blood of Christ. So we have to remember our responsibility when we receive this communion. Then preach the gospel. So let's pray as we examine ourselves. And here we have the bread and cup prepared already. Let's pray as we examine our heart. Dear our loving Father, we are thankful, though we are sinners, born in sin, but God has given us your love and allow us to participate in your divine nature. Jesus came into the world to show about the Lord God, and God is using us so that other people around can recognize Christ in us. So the divine nature that God can equip, that must be expressed outwardly. May you help us today learn of these natures, that each one of us can be equipped, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, love, the unity in each one of us, so that we can complete our responsibility you have given us. May you help us. This morning, we will receive bread and a cup to represent the blood and body of Christ. May you help us be worthy to receive this communion. Help us so that the rest of our life, that we can express to others, know about the divine nature inside of our life. We will use our humility to live. We express our gentleness to live and treat others as love. We will use patience to face all the struggle challenges in our life, so that the negative situation will be overcome. May we have the love to express, to love unworthy people, so that we can also use a unity to walk in unity with the Holy Spirit. Please make us fulfill our responsibility. We lift this hour up. May we be worthy to receive this communion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.